It's always a great honor to be able to share the Word of God. Thank you for this opportunity. Fantastic to have my kids here today. You don't know, just me and both of them being here is a real miracle. We've come through the valley of the shadow of death. So it's wonderful. The name of the sermon today is called The Alabaster Flask. It's taken from Mark chapter 14, Mark 14:3. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, Jesus, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. And then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarius and given to the poor," and they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish you may do them good, but me you do not always have. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them. This section of scripture is a masterpiece of biblical imagery and spiritual truths, and I don't think we can begin to understand it without taking a moment to discuss some of the details. We're presented with so many details and things in this small section of scripture. It's really amazing. First, we hear about alabaster. There's an alabaster flask. Alabaster is a soft stone. It's easily carved and desirable for its translucent qualities, allowing light to pass through it. In the ancient Egypt and Middle East, alabaster was highly esteemed for making small perfume bottles or ointment vases. In Egypt, craftsmen used alabaster for canopic jars and other sacred and sepulchral objects. A canopic jar is a vessel in the Egyptian mummification process that contains the organs of the deceased. I'm sure you didn't know that. Sepulchral means pertaining to the sepulcher or the tomb. And so these things about alabaster relate to burial. And Jesus said, "She has come beforehand to anoint me for my burial." So I thought that was interesting. The other thing we're presented with is spikenard. It says it's an aromatic amber-colored essential oil derived from a flowering plant which grows in the Himalayas of Nepal, China, and India. The oil has been used over centuries as a perfume. It is found in an altitude of about 9,800 feet to 16,400 feet. You know, the base camp at Everest is around 17,000 feet. So you have to imagine harvesting this particular plant. We can kind of maybe see why it's so expensive. And plus, they had to bring it from Nepal and the Himalayas to the Middle East. Its roots can be crushed and distilled into an intensely aromatic amber-colored essential oil with a thick consistency. There was a complaint made that this fragrant oil could have been sold for 300 denarius. You know, I don't know about you, but every time I've ever read through this, all of these things are like all this information in this little segment of scripture. So I thought I would just take a minute to research it and share that with you. This fragrant oil could have been sold for 300 denarius. One denarius at that time was one day's wage for an unskilled worker. 300 denariuses would have been 300 days' wages. let's say just a random at $15 an hour, that's $120 a day. That's $36,000. So you can see why Judas headed right out to betray him. He was mad about him wasting the money. He was probably the main instigator, and it was like the outcry of, why was this wasted? The account in John's gospel says, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarius and given to the poor? This he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. I guess that would have made his purse a little bit heavier, wouldn't it? 36,000 denarius. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest. Now, this picks up in a place where we heard in Mark, it just said that he left and went to the chief priest to betray him. But Matthew gives us a little more detail about what happened after he left. It says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. 30 pieces of silver. The estimates vary wildly, but a rough average would be about $450. In Exodus 21:32, it says, if an ox gores a male or female servant or slave, he shall give their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. So Jesus' precious life was sold for the price of a slave. It says she broke the flask. This gives us the impression that it was permanently sealed, like some of the Egyptian burial jars that we talked about, or that the opening was very small for measuring out amounts, small amounts of perfume at a time, like many perfume containers are. How, in either case, she broke it open. John's account, after the flask was broken open, says, the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Now, all of these details are very important to the study that we're about to embark on. I thought it was good that we know these things. In Matthew, it says, but there were some indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? Can you imagine that some of his disciples could say that anything spent on Jesus was wasted? That's another good point. Then Jesus said, she has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. I want to take a minute to talk about this statement because it's very important to what we're going to be talking about. So if we take this moment where they were, where Mary broke the box open, she anointed him with it. If we fast forward 2 days forward from then, the scene is the crucifixion. 2 days later, the scene here is the crucifixion, and on this day that he was being crucified, at sunset was the beginning of the Sabbath. The Jewish Sabbath day began on evening sunset Friday night and went till sunset on Saturday night. And so this was Friday, and sunset was at the beginning of the Sabbath. And we know also from other scriptures that the women who followed Jesus were there at the crucifixion, specifically the Marys. Now, John 19:31 says, therefore, because it was the preparation day. Preparation day is the day, that's right, the day right before the evening of the Sabbath. So they had to prepare all their food. They had to prepare everything that they needed from Friday night to Saturday night, so because they weren't allowed to work. So it was the preparation day. So it says, therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away, because you couldn't have the dead bodies or bodies on the cross during the Sabbath. So in crucifixion, to explain that, in crucifixion, death eventually comes by suffocation. When they can no longer push themselves up from hanging to breathe, by breaking the legs, they can no longer push themselves up, and the arms being too weak, at that point, death comes quickly. That's why they wanted to break their legs. If we break their legs, they're going to suffocate, and we can get them out of here. That's basically what the chief priest wanted. So, you have to understand that the three Marys were all there watching this. Mark 16, 1. Now when the Sabbath was passed, by the time the bodies were taken down from the cross, all of the shops in town were closed. Because by then it was getting dark. And because it was the Sabbath, and the women could not buy spices to anoint his body. When the Sabbath ended on Saturday evening, the shops opened, and they were able to buy spices, but they couldn't go to the tomb because the gates of the city would be closed at sunset. And it would not be opened again until dawn on Sunday, the first day of the week. Now, it says in Mark 16, now when the Sabbath was passed, which was Saturday evening, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. You see, they had to wait. They came and bought the spices on Sabbath. You know, it says when the Sabbath was passed, they came and bought spices. The shops opened up on Saturday evening. After the Sabbath, the shops would open up again, so they went and bought the spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. They had to wait till the gates opened. And they said among themselves, so you got to say, they're thinking this before they get there. As they're coming along, you know, they've had this trouble. They didn't buy the spices, and now they're thinking, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? You see, everything had gone wrong. When Joseph of Arimathea had taken the body of Jesus to lay it in his own tomb, it was getting dark, and the women were so distraught by the horrible death of their Lord that they had not prepared in advance and bought the spices. So now they have the spices, and they're on the way, and then one of them remembers there's a massive stone sealing the tomb. They must have felt hopeless in their efforts, trying to honor the Lord with a proper burial ritual. In Mark 16:4, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting at the right side, and they were frightened. But he said to them, do not be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen, and he is not here. See the place where they laid him. So you see, they came to anoint him for burial, but they were too late. By the time they got there, he had already risen. They were frustrated in all their efforts trying to perform this for him. But now we can see what Mary, the sister of Lazarus, and Martha accomplished. Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor always with you, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not always have. And she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. She got it done because the others failed because they were too late. The other women wanted to do this good work, but they were too late. Then Jesus says something outstanding. Wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. And that's an amazing statement. So one evening many years ago, I had read this portion of scripture before going to bed. And the next morning, I woke up in kind of like a twilight state. I wasn't aware that I was awake, but all of a sudden I heard a voice say to me, "You are the alabaster box or flask." God used the King James translation when he spoke that to me. "You are the, I'm just putting that out there. You are the alabaster box." And I woke up startled. It was shocking because I'd read through what we've been through in detail the night before, but you know, all these details, there's so many. I just read over it, but I guess I was really pondering it, and he told me, "You are the alabaster box." So what's that mean? What I want to impress on you is this, and this is the lesson, that allowing yourself to be broken open and pouring your precious life out for the Savior must be performed now, before you die, or before the Lord comes again. He, like giving to the poor who will always be with us in eternity, there will be many great works of charity and services that we will perform. But then it will be too late for us to be broken open and to pour out our precious lives for Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels," or jars of clay. That makes me think of the Egyptian burial jars. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, jars of clay, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Our earthly bodies, God has made the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. This is the treasure, and this is what is excellent about us and is in us. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ amongst those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life." So see, we are the aroma of death among those who perish, who like Judas see our lives committed and laid down for Jesus' sake. And they say, "What a waste. What a waste." See, all this comes back to us. "But to those who love Jesus, it is the aroma of life, for it is His beautiful life that is coming forth from us." If he can get through. John the Baptist said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." It is as Paul describes so well in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." It is the story of your life broken and buried so that the whole world will be filled with the fragrance of the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ who is raised from the dead. This is the gospel. And that's why Jesus said, "This will be preached wherever the true gospel is preached, this story of yours," because that's exactly what it is. A jar, just a simple clay jar broken open so that the fragrant oil can fill the house and everyone in the house can smell it. "You are the alabaster flask." That's what God said to me. "You are the alabaster box. You are the alabaster flask, and the Spirit of the Lord is the fragrant oil. Don't let the love of your own life, which is nothing but a jar of clay, keep that lovely fragrance of Jesus Christ filling the air around you and reaching a lost and dying world." Remember, for all of eternity, this is the only time that you can do this good work for Christ. Remember Mary. He said, she has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial, and with all the efforts of the women who loved her, loved Christ, and all the, they tried everything, and their efforts were frustrated, and his body would have never been anointed for burial had it not been that she had come beforehand. So remember, for all eternity, this is the only time you can do this good work for Christ. Let us offer ourselves up to the Lord while there is still time. Thank you.